Ephesians and chapter 6 and verse 18. Ephesians 6 verse 18. Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Praying always with all prayer. There's a very well known and a very greatly used preacher used to say, I've heard him saying it more than once. He would say, we speak about praying for the work. And he would say, prayer is the work. And I used to agree, and I still agree to some extent, but we must not think that the work is ours. We must remember that this is God's work, and only He can do it. But our part of that work is definitely prayer. That is the work. That is the labor. That is the front line of this work as far as we are concerned. Paul here winds up this great and very well known passage on the armour of God. And he does it with verse 18 and what follows. But we notice in verse 18 the emphasis on always, all. And this kind of reminds us a little bit of the way he begins the passage in verse 11, for example, put on the whole armour of God. And in verse 13, we have again, wherefore take unto you the whole armour of God. Paul is stretching his language as far as he can there in order to emphasize the importance of what he is saying. And here again, he says, pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. He highlights in that way to us the overwhelming importance of prayer and the overwhelming importance of a life of prayer. The great aim we should all have, to be men and women of prayer. Here in this verse is surely a charter for that kind of life and for being that kind of person. A person who is a man or a woman of prayer. Is there any greater ambition? There is certainly not a more difficult thing to do or to achieve than to win on the battlefield of prayer. And it is a battlefield because it is the front line as far as we are concerned. And in it we are wielding the most powerful weapon that we have. And the enemy, Satan, wants to destroy our efforts. This is not an easy matter, but it is not an impossible matter. And we must set our minds to it. Let's look at these words then. Praying always. Yes, always. What does Paul mean by that? In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, he says a similar thing. He says, pray without ceasing. Now we have to really Look carefully at what that means. Does it mean that we are to be always in a secret place, on our knees, praying to God? Is that what it means? Or does it even mean necessarily long sessions of prayer, hours in prayer? Well, there is a sense in which ideally we would say yes to these things. But we must take something else into account. Something in our lives which is of great importance. And that is the fact that God has woven into our lives duties and responsibilities. Things which He has laid upon us and which must not be neglected. Because neglect of these things is disobedience. And the Bible tells us that obedience is better than sacrifice. We may think we are doing well if we sacrifice time that we should spend on duties in order that we might pray. But we have to be very, very careful and seek to be obedient rather than making sacrifices of any kind. Now, I would say this, that it would be in fulfilling these duties and responsibilities and doing that in submission to God, doing them as obedience, doing these duties that God has given to us as religious duties. Whatever God has laid upon us, that we do it as unto the Lord. Now this is where Christianity differs widely with types of philosophies such as communism. That the communist looks on labor as a purely economic activity. But the Christian looks on labor as a religious activity. Whatever that labor may be, whether it may be something at the highest level or at the lowliest level, the Christian must seek to do, to carry out his labor as unto the Lord, whatever it may be, whatever God has woven into that person's life, whether it be labor or family responsibilities or whatever responsibilities and duties that God has given to us, that we do them as religious duties. We do them as unto the Lord. We do them as things which God has woven into our lot. Now, some of these things bring us very often great frustration. Sometimes they bring us nothing but frustration. Now, what do? When that happens, well, we must know and learn and keep in mind the explanation for these frustrations, because the Bible has explained it to us. It has given us the reason for it. When man fell, there were certain things that happened automatically or instantly with the fall. Things like man's sense of guilt and shame before God. But there were other things which were God's response. God laying down the sentence under which man was to operate because of their disobedience. And one of the things that is there is that with the sweat of your brow you shall eat bread. And that very often when you till the ground, it shall bring forth to you thorns and thistles. How do we react? How do we use that in order to cope? How do we use that to transform the frustrations of our lives and our work into doing it as unto the Lord, into religious activity? Very simply, that we look on these frustrations as the result of our fallen state, the result of the fact that we ourselves are sinners, and that these things are very far from being God's ultimate punishment upon us. Far from being that, they are really God's mercy. That God commuted the sentence and built into our lives these reminders, lest we forget. Reminders which remind us of our fallen state and of our sinnership. And when we then come to these frustrations, carry out our duties, we look on these frustrations as the result of what God has said, thorns and thistles. And in accepting them and in bowing in submission before them, what are we doing? We are honoring God. Yes, we are honoring God. No matter what it is, if it is laid upon us by God, we can make it a religious activity. I'm not saying that we can transform it into all joy, but there can be joy in it once we make it a religious activity before God. So, getting back to praying always, is it not the case that if we take all the activities, all the duties and responsibilities that God has laid upon us, and we do them as religious activities, is it not the case that we are doing them prayerfully? That we are doing them saying, Lord, this is thy sentence, and I submit to it gladly and wholly and cordially. For, Lord, I know that this, that I deserve far, far worse than this. So it is then just a step, isn't it? Just a step from praying always. It is, I believe this with all my heart, it is in the environment, the spiritual environment of doing our duties prayerfully and as unto the Lord and submitting to them as unto the Lord. It is in that environment that praying always thrives. In the midst of it all, we can pray just flash prayers, momentary prayers, acknowledgments of God, cries to God, praises to God, can be woven into all our duties and responsibilities. And so we honour God. It is in that kind of thinking and in that kind of mind and soul that operates that way, that praying without ceasing thrives. How so? How is that? How can that be praying without ceasing? Because I believe this, that praying without ceasing, or praying always, does not mean long prayer. Tell me one place in the Bible where God speaks well and pray in a praising manner of long prayer. I don't think you'll find it. But you will find a condemnation of some people's long prayer. You see, there is always a danger with long prayer. Very danger into which these Pharisees fell. They preened themselves because of their long prayer. We are such sinful people. We can turn everything into sin. And the easiest thing in the world to turn into self-satisfaction and self-pleasedness and self-righteousness is long prayer. That is not to say there is not a place for long prayer. And there is a place for congregations meeting together for long prayer. Or even for, as some denominations do, all nights of prayer. There is a place for these things. But we are speaking about the normal rhythm and routine of life. It is praying often. Not to neglect the secret place. Not to neglect making the whole Sabbath, if we can, into a day of prayer. Not forgetting these things at all, because these things are important. As far as our day-to-day work and prayer is concerned, it is praying often. It is very easy for us to say, I am too busy to pray. I have too many responsibilities to pray. My day is absolutely full. You see? If you look at it this way, if you look at praying always in this way, in a way that it is woven into your whole day, then it takes away that excuse. You don't have that excuse anymore. What you are commanded to do is to do your duties prayerfully as unto the Lord. And if you do that, then it is certain that there will be, well, I hope you don't mind the term, but it's the only, the best way that I can do it and the way I picture it for myself, flash prayers unto heaven. And I believe that these cries are received and precious in the eyes of God. So praying always. Then, secondly, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now, this means just, if we were to gather this all into one, before we break it up a little bit, let's gather it into one. What is this really speaking about? This whole phrase, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. It is speaking about sincerity in prayer. earnestness in prayer. All prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Supplication and prayer. What's the difference? Is there a difference? Well, supplications are perhaps a slightly narrower thing. The word supplications comes from, it is to do with petitions, with specific things that we ask for. But prayer is a much wider thing than that. Prayer includes worship, praise, thanksgiving, as well as petitions. So, earnest prayer. Praying with all prayer. Now he has already said praying always. So what is he adding on when he says praying always with all prayer? Surely the idea is to pray with earnestness. To pray, really pray. Not praying prayerless prayers, but prayerful prayers. Prayer from the heart. Prayer from the midst of our being. Praying, to use a phrase we looked at recently, praying from our very bowels. From our very inside. Pray as meant. Is it possible to pray without praying? Yes. And I'll tell you this. I like to ask myself the question. And this, I do this not because I'm any better than anybody else, but because I know very well how easy it is to fall into this pitfall from my own experience. When I get up from my knees, I ask myself the question, have I prayed? And I often have to answer, no. I haven't prayed. And the answer is to pray again. Even one cry from the heart. Doesn't matter how long or how involved, but the cry is from the heart. Praying always, praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Oh, this is difficult, isn't it? It's always difficult for us to understand what doing something in the Spirit means. Well, how about looking at it this way? Praying within or in the Spirit rather than out with the Spirit. When our prayers are not meant, when our prayers are prayerless prayers, is there not a danger made clear for us in the Scripture that we will quench the Spirit and that our prayers are prayed out with the Spirit? They are nothing but our own. But if we pray sincerely and from the heart, it is far more likely if not certain, that we will be praying in the Spirit, watching thereunto, thirdly, with all unto, watching thereunto to all perseverance. Watching thereunto with all perseverance. Now Jesus said to the disciples, watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Now, as I said before, prayer is the front line. And any soldier who is in the front line must be watchful, must be on his guard. He needs eyes all round him. He needs to know what's happening all round him, because he is in constant danger. But also, there is this with prayer, that we have to keep at it. From moment to moment, we have to persevere in prayer. Because I'm sure you all know as well as I do that one moment you can be in sincere prayer, and the next moment you can be 1,000 miles away. And you have to pull back, get back to true prayer. And you have to keep going. You have to persevere. You have to refuse to surrender. No matter how often Satan draws you away, you must show your perseverance, show your mettle in prayer by continually coming back. Christians should be perseverers in all areas of their lives. They should not be quitters, but perseverers. Persevering in our Christian lives to the end. We stand there in prayer, and it is just like as if Satan saw us with an automatic rifle in our hands. The weapon which he fears most, he hates it, and he trembles when he sees it. And his aim is to take that weapon out of our hands. Now, automatic weapons are common nowadays, because they're so easy to use. Soldier no longer has to take aim. All he has to do is spray bullets. One of them is going to hit target. The one thing about this weapon of prayer is that no bullets are wasted. We can fire as many prayers as we like, crying to God, cry after cry after cry, doesn't matter how often, doesn't matter how rapid, every one of them will reach target. There is no waste, because in these prayers, these flash prayers, they are unlikely to be insincere prayers. They are likely to be prayers which come from need. So Satan will use all his cunning and all his subtlety to disable that weapon or take it right out of our hands. We must watch and we must persevere in prayer. Then we have, and supplication for all saints. for all sins. What is a saint? It's not somebody whom the Pope decides must be beatified, as they say, as he's hoping to do with a man called John Henry Newman. You saw a little clip in the news just this past week, that there is a plan to beatify John Henry Newman. Doesn't matter who he is, but just as an example. Is that what a saint is? Is it something which a church or a person on earth decides that person is no saint? We lift him up, we exalt him to be a saint. That's just such absolute nonsense. A saint is every true believer is a saint. Yes. Every single person whose hope and trust is in Jesus Christ is a saint. So, what does that mean? Means that we have a lot of people to pray for. Because it is for all saints. All means all. Is it possible for you and I to pray for all saints? Yes. Is it possible for us to embrace them all? Yes, because they are all just those who have the one common hope that we have. And we should have no difficulty when we think of that, of embracing them in our prayers. Lord, remember thy true people. Remember all those who have the common hope. Now, we are infected with a characteristic of the modern world. And that is the characteristic of extreme individuality. And it has affected the church. And I believe that's one of the reasons why covenant theology is very rarely preached in the church. Very rarely will we hear a sermon on the covenant of redemption, otherwise called the eternal covenant, or on the covenant of grace. That's the outworking of that of the covenant of the eternal covenant in time. That is the covenant of grace. Now, what's the reason for that? Is it not the fact that we are infected with individualism? That we have lost this great vision, this great sense of all one in Christ Jesus. A sense that we can and are in our prayers united to every believer all over the world. Surely, what Paul says here, supplication for all saints. Now, prayers for the other saints will be mainly supplication. Because there will be petitions. We won't be, it will be within our prayers. But the prayers for the other saints will be mainly supplications, petitions, things that we are asking for them, seeking their protection, their keeping, their blessedness, their joy, their success in spiritual things and in spiritual efforts. These kind of things we pray for. Lord, remember thy people who are all one in Christ Jesus. All those who share the common hope. We are all one body. And we have one head. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we must regain these concepts. And we must look at a phrase like this and realize how much we fall short of praying for all saints. All of them, all over the world. Some of them suffering for their faith greatly. Some of them suffering injustices which are just unspeakable. Some have the same, or say all of them will have the same temptations as we have. Some of them are tried far, far more than we are tried. Persecuted, marginalized, deprived of their rights, and the noose is tightening every day. Yes, this is a time of increasing persecution of Christians worldwide. Let us develop a globe-embracing consciousness of our brothers and sisters. Difficult? Well, it all depends on our theology, whether we really believe that we are all one in Christ Jesus. That is the basis on which we pray for all saints. If we find it difficult, we must ask God to help us to understand the meaning of one body and one head. And we must pray to Him to expand our heart, to give us outgoing hearts which embrace all our brothers and sisters worldwide. Praying with all prayer and supplication for all saints. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we thank Thee for Thy word. We thank Thee, Lord, for its amazing comprehensiveness. We thank Thee, Lord, for its amazing density. That even in a word or a few words, there is so much. We ask Thee, Lord, that Thou would take these things that we have spoken about tonight and apply them to our hearts by the power of Thy Spirit. Oh, that we would be praying people, praying Christians, praying office bearers, praying ministers, embracing the whole world. Oh, Lord, make us to be so, and forgive our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.